Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. And so far this week, we're still able to have the freedom to be on the radio. If you've been watching the things that have been happening lately, strange things have been going on, and people have been booted off from things online. And I was talking to somebody who said that they were driving around and they're radio just went out for about 5 minutes the other day, and so I don't know what's happening, but we live in strange times, but we certainly need to keep our faith in Christ and keep looking up, as the Bible says, for our redemption draweth nigh. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and glad to have you with us here today. I got a couple things I want to touch on here, some things that are happening, and another one of those slow news weeks, of course, you know, but we'll find something to talk about here, I'm sure. But let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program. Pray that you would help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to be, again, to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us, Lord, to be able to help people that are Christians to, in their walk with you, that they might make sense of the things that are happening in the world around us, and to be able to better understand the things that you would have for us to do in these difficult times. Father, bless now, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I hope you were listening in the last half hour. I want to thank Pastor Lutz for the opportunity to be on with him these last few weeks. We've had been combining our programs. We did that, of course, on Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and then last week in light of events that have been happening. And, well, he had a great program talking about the Lord working and raising up saviors, and not to be confused with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but people who would deliver their nation. And we see that throughout the Scriptures, that God has raised people up. And I'm going to be looking a little bit later here at something in Psalm 83, and he talks about what God does there. And then it talks about how these things are to glorify the Lord. And so we'll touch on a couple of those things, hopefully. But I want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find more about us there. That links to our homepage for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, links to some of our social media pages. And we're still able to post things on Facebook, but frequently they get masked. I had a couple things I wanted to post this past week, and Facebook just flat out wouldn't let me post it. That just was it. And then there's other things, of course, the Facebook mask of shame that you get. I've been doing a number of things on Twitter, but I've kind of backed off in light of where Twitter is headed and just the things that are happening there. But pray for our country, pray for our president, pray for certainly for our people. And I believe we are seeing some things coming together, and it's interesting, they're all coming together at the same time. So again, let me just remind you to keep glued to not the television set, not the internet screen, but to God's Word. Keep your nose in that book, and keep in prayer, and trust God to direct you. I want to share something. There's a center in Israel. It's the Begin Sadat Center for Strategic Studies, and they released a statement here at the beginning of the year. They released a paper saying that Iran is planning a military operation on January 19th. Now, it wasn't here, but elsewhere, and I think we might have touched on it last week, Pastor Lutz and I. And again, thank you, Pastor Lutz, for allowing me to be on with you, and appreciate everything being on with us as well. And by the way, those programs are on our website at livewithpastoral.com, both our Christmas and New Year's programs, and the one last week where we were talking about the events that took place on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., this past week ago Wednesday, I should say, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday the previous week. And more developments happening there, of course. It's more and more coming out. The lie that has been propagated by the left that it was only Trump supporters that did that, more and more is coming out as Antifa thugs and BLM activists are being identified and arrested, and eyewitnesses coming forward with video and everything showing them leading and inciting mobs to try and create havoc in the Capitol. So keep praying. Hopefully more of that story will come out. But as I started to say, there was a report on Wednesday, January 6th, the Iranians were going to try to crash an aircraft into the Capitol building. Now, of course, we saw back in 9/11, 2001, September 11, where the Muslim jihadis crashed the airplanes into the Twin Towers, the jets into the Twin Towers in New York, also into the Pentagon. And then they had the one that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, that had been headed from reports that I had from people who were in the Air Force at the time and had access also to air traffic control radar and things, that one was actually headed for the Sears Tower in Chicago. But when they heard that the Pentagon had not, things that the Pentagon had not worked out, they diverted it back to try and to go after either the Pentagon or the White House or the Capitol building there. But anyway, so we've seen this before, and this has actually been used in fiction. Tom Clancy had a novel where disgruntled Japanese guy who I believe he had lost his son in the World War II or something, and he ends up flying a jet airliner into the Capitol building. So we've seen this in fiction, we've seen it in real life, and so it's reasonable to expect that they might have wanted to try to do it, but obviously they did not do it. They weren't able to carry it out. Maybe it was just a story to see how we would react, but now there's a credible threat that they're planning on attacking Israel and America on January 19th. Now, the reason that they want to do that is there's a couple of things behind it. Primarily, it's to avenge the killing of General Qassem Soleimani, who was killed last year on January 3rd, I believe it was, and he was the general that was helping the Iranians to effectively move into other countries, and he orchestrated all kinds of terrorist activities. He was a bad guy. That's all there is to it. And we took him out with what some have called the flying Ginsu bomb, which is a bomb that's designed to take out its target without producing a wealth of collateral damage. Essentially, when it explodes, it's like a thousand, they call it the Ginsu bomb, because it's like 1,000 Ginsu knives flying out and just essentially devastating anything right around there. So we took him out. They've never forgiven us for that. And so they believe that the Israelis, of course, helped, because, you know, Israel's the little Satan, we're the great Satan, and they want revenge for that against President Trump. And, of course, the president of and the Iranian leaders and the president of Iran were saying that Trump is going to die here before he leaves the White House, and they've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. And they believe that if they attack on the day before Donald Trump's last day as president, that he won't have time to put in motion any serious retaliatory acts against Iran. And in other words, they think they can get away with it because they don't believe that Biden is going to really do anything. That should tell you something right there. But we need to pray and pray about this, because Israel is afraid of an infrastructure attack on its facilities, and they believe that Iran might launch this from some of its proxies, such as Yemen, Iraq, Lebanon, or even in Syria. I just saw something earlier this morning, an Israeli airstrike in Syria, where Iran again was trying to build up some forces there. But this made me think of Psalm 83. As we're coming into these things, we know that there are certain things on God's prophetic calendar, and I've mentioned many times in verse 28, where after he talks about things that'll take place in the tribulation period, he says, "And when these things begin to come pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And so we see things setting the stage, the great reset. They're supposed to have a meeting this month. I think it's on the 26th or 29th, somewhere later this month, where they're going to be finalizing some plans for the Great Reset. Now, you mentioned the Great Reset online, and you'll get people who mock you for it. But the Bible talks about being a watchman on the wall, and sometimes you have to sound a warning. But I believe the Great Reset is the devil's attempt to rally the world, to get them together for the institution of a one world government under his man, the Antichrist, and who is currently, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he is being prevented by God through the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is preventing him from coming to power, being revealed, and then of the mystery of iniquity from being successful. And he's working, of course, through us, through the believers. And if you know Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, and he's working through you in the world around you. And so we need to allow God to work through us to carry out this function of withholding, preventing the Antichrist from coming to power, and hindering the progress of mystery iniquity. That's why I talk about some of these things. But in Psalm 83, we've talked about this. This is a passage where we see God inspired Asaph here, and he says, "Keep not silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones." Now, thy people, he's talking about Israel here, and if you're not sure about that, you'll see it in the next verse. Verse 4, he says, "They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Now, for time's sake, I don't have time to go through every part of this psalm, but suffice to say, what we find in this psalm is a number of peoples that form nations, and we can identify places that will be responsible for this. Now, you say, well, this was in the past. No, this has not taken place yet. There are things here that indicate that this is a prophetic psalm. And so this, I believe, is one of the next big events on God's prophetic calendar. When will this start? I don't know. But certainly, with the world in the state that it is today, with the unrest here in the United States, have you been watching the pictures out of Washington, D.C.? They're talking about putting 21,000 guard troops and military troops on the streets. There's already thousands and thousands of them there. There's more troops on the ground in Washington, D.C., than we have in Afghanistan. Think about that for a moment. More than we have in Afghanistan, in Washington. What are they there for? Why are they patrolling with guns, live ammunition, and in tremendous force? Is it because a bunch of Trump supporters wearing MAGA hats are going to come up and overrun the Capitol? Oh, isn't that what happened on the 6th? No. Do a little research into this. That was an attempt. I don't want to get sidetracked into that, but that was an attempt to cause a riot that would be blamed on the Trump supporters. And now we've got the FBI issuing these reports that not only in Washington, D.C., but in every state capital, not just some, not just places like New York or California or Oregon or New Jersey, everyone, all 50 states are under threat from being overrun by fanatic right-wing MAGA hat-wearing Trump supporters this coming week, starting this weekend. You know, all these wild-eyed Trump supporters are going to try to, by force, overrun every state capital starting this weekend. And that's why Governor DeWine has called up hundreds of troops, and he's stationing them in Columbus, around the state capitol, and he's stationing them around the state because, according to Channel 5 last night, Channel 8 this morning, they're worried that Cleveland might be overrun by hordes of MAGA hat-wearing Trump supporters. Or is it that they're trying to imply so that if something happens, they're going to blame it on us, on people like you and me, that pray for President Trump, people like you and me that support President Trump, people like you and me that have voted for President Trump? Why would they want to do that? Well, we've seen some of the things that they've been talking about doing to us. They want to shut us up. They want to put us in re-education camps. They want to take away our children before we can brainwash them. They want us to be silenced, marginalized, and even eliminated, as in dead. These are things that the left, and we're not talking about the loony fringe left. We're talking about people on CNN. We're talking about people on MSNBC. We're talking about, you know, people in Congress. And unreal. So what do we do? Well, here's Israel. And they are being told that these people are consulting against them, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And the places that are listed here, we have, he mentions Edom and the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites and Moab and the Hagarenes and Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also has joined with them. They have opened the children of Lot, Selah. And what we have in this is a layout of peoples that surrounded Israel. And this would be in the area of Egypt, especially the Sinai Peninsula area, where the descendants of Esau were. That would be Gebel and different Amalek and different ones that are there. And then we also have up in Syria, that would be Assyria and Tyre, where Lebanon is, and Moab and Ammon, which is over getting towards Jordan and Iraq. And not mentioned in this particular spot, but in other prophecies that appear to relate to this, is Elam, which is a portion of Iran. And all these places are destroyed. God destroys them. The Bible says, as they come down here to verse 13, "Oh my God, make them a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord." And isn't this interesting that it would drive these people to begin seeking the Lord's name? Let me go over to a passage over here in Isaiah, if I can get to this real quick here. There's just so many different things. There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 19 where it talks about the destruction of Egypt. And it says in this particular passage here that the result of the destruction of Egypt here, where they would be afraid of the Israelis, the Jewish people here, I'm going to try to find down here real quick, but let me get down to verse 21 where he says, "And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day." And what it's talking about is this is going to cause Egypt to turn to God. He continues, "They shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite and heal it." Over in, I believe it's Ezekiel 29, he talks about Egypt being uninhabited for 40 years. That's not happened. Don't have time to get into that prophecy right now. We've talked about it before, but he says, "The Lord shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite and heal it." And then it says this in verse 23, "In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians, and in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance." What's the end result here? Total destruction and annihilation for the sake of total destruction and annihilation? No, that Egypt would turn to the Lord, that Assyria would turn to the Lord, and they would be partners with Israel in serving God. Let's go back to Psalm 83. And so when he says here in verse 15, "So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm, fill their faces with shame," then as I read verse 16, the end of it, "that they may seek thy name, O Lord." And then he closes out with the last two verses, "Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish," last verse, "that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." And when we think about different times in the Bible where God's people were under attack, when Israel was being persecuted by Pharaoh, and finally God delivered them by the hand of Moses, and they went out into the wilderness, and remember they were stuck against the Red Sea behind them, or in front of them, and they had mountains on either side of them, and they had the Egyptian army led by Pharaoh coming down the river valley, the Wadi there, behind them, and it looked hopeless. The people were complaining. They thought Moses brought them out to die in the wilderness. It's not the first time that they said that, or the only time that they said that, I should say. But notice what happened here. They said to Moses, in verse 11, they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Leave us, or let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You know, we have Christians that are like that today. It's better that we serve the world. It's better that we serve the left. It's better that we kowtow to Biden and Harris. It's better that we kowtow to the likes of Pelosi and AOC and all these that tell us we need to change our religion, that we can't be vocal and outspoken. We need to kowtow to them. It's better that we live with the Egyptians than die in the wilderness. And then Moses says to them, verse 13, "Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now, this is interesting. I see a parallel here. We're at a time right now where many Christians are saying it's over. Biden and Harris, you know, we're going to have the Harris-Biden. I like saying it that way because even Biden said, you think I'm joking when he said the Harris-Biden administration. Some people laughed. He said, you think I'm joking? Well, he recognized it's the Harris-Biden administration and really the third Obama administration, because Harris was their pick and they're using Biden as the way to get Harris in there. But anyway, here we are. It's over. It's hopeless. Biden's going to be the president. They're going to come for our guns. They're going to tell us that we can't go out in the public sector with our message. We have to stay and hunker down in our churches and our homes and be good and just live in Egypt and obey the Egyptians. No, I'm sorry. We need to look at what Moses said. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. God is going to do something. He said, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. God, I believe, is going to move, and we're going to see things one day, and the world is going to know that thou, God, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? The best preparation you can do for the turbulent times that we're in is put faith in Christ. Know Christ as your Savior. I hope you have. Pray for this country. Pray for our president. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.